Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Bobby Eaton Show.
Yeah.
Giving you information you'll want to know. Speaking on issues affecting us all and music for the soul.
Yeah.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
Bobby.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show. Bobby Eaton Show.
Bobby.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
All right. Hey, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you're at here on this planet Earth. And welcome to the Bobby Eaton Show. And tonight is open mic discussion. Hey, I just decided to have an open mic conversation. So if you have a topic or anything in particular you'd like to talk about, you just call in and we'll just talk about it. Miss Sansari isn't available tonight. She's away right now. She's got some things going on. But I'm here, yours truly. So we want you to call in. Hey, dial that number, 646-716-5525. And don't forget to press that one button. Hey, just giving you a little recap. Monday, we had a real good show on Monday. We had Hollywood TV film producer Randy Huggins of the show, the BET show, Rebel, was on our show. A lot of callers and a lot of listeners, and it was a great show. You know, Rebel is a show that's on BET, one of those BET series, and Mr. Huggins, he works along the sides of John Singleton, the famed producer John Singleton. You know, who produced Boys in the Hood and Baby Boy and a whole lot of other movies that he's produced, a lot of black films. And Randy is on the way, on the rise up. So he's writing and producing and doing a whole lot of things out there in Hollywood in the movie and film industry, making waves for other black producers and filmmakers. So, hey, I applaud Randy, you know, and it was a great show and just appreciate it. Hey, you're on the Bobby Eaton Show, and I'm going to go to the phone lines right quick, and I think my girl is on here. Let's find out what's going on. 918-378.
You know it's me.
I already knew. How you doing?
Oh, man. Well, there seems to be a very deep issue with my cable, so I am just calling in to see what's going on, and I heard you talking about Randy Huggy.
Yeah.
And what a great time we had, and what a great interview we had. And
yeah, we
know,
had fun.
I know, and I was so despondent because yesterday was when my cable messed up. So I wasn't able to see the Rebel. So I've got this guy over here now, and now they're having to go to the electrical room. It's that serious in our
really?
Complex. So,
okay,
yeah.
So
I thought I'd
now?
Just call in and see what you – yeah, he's here right now. He's
okay,
went down to security is having to let him into the electrical room.
Yeah, we got to get you going with that one.
I know.
Yeah.
So we're having open mic this evening?
Yeah, open mic, and you know what I mean? You get a chance, call back in, and we'll talk about whatever is necessary. But right now, I'm just on the light side, open mic night. Anybody can call in and talk about any topic they'd like to talk about. So, yeah.
Wonderful.
Great.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
there's a whole lot of talk. Boy, I've been getting a lot of feedback on different issues on my Facebook from my Facebook family and friends.
Oh, for sure.
So,
for sure.
You know, it's a lot of stuff that we could definitely tap into. I'm going to go out here and make sure that this guy knows what he's doing. And
make sure
like
he's
I know.
Monitor him.
So I hope to be walking through the door in the next 30 minutes. So hopefully,
well, hey,
you know,
be nice
we get this issue
nice
taken care of.
Yeah, nice to have you up in here.
Yeah,
okay?
I know. Well, I'm trying to get there. All right.
Well, take care of your business, okay?
Okay, babe. All right. See you
okay,
soon.
Bye. Mm-hmm.
Bye.
That's my lovely co-host, Miss Sansare. Hey, she's a charming. She's always got my back and in the studio and stuff like that. That's my road dog. We kind of hang out and go places and do things whenever I need a date. I say, hey, Sansare, let's go. She said, okay, I'm ready. Let's get it. You know what I mean? So that's like my sister right there. And we go a lot of different places. Speaking of different places, I was down at the Kane's Ballroom. I went down there earlier And at the Canes Ballroom, a lot of behind-the-scenes professional musicians in town. They've with Ernie Fields Jr. and company. Ernie Fields Jr. is a musician who's out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he contracts a lot of the musicians for shows like American Idol, The Voice, even some of the Tonight Show, you name it. He's been the contractor for various different TV shows for years. So I went down there, and Mr. Ricky Minor was down there. He played behind Whitney Houston, bass player, and he was a band director for American Idol. And, you know, it's just Fred Wesley, the Horny Horns, and Parliament Funkadelic, and George Clinton, and all of that. He's playing down there, and just a lot of different guys in the band, you know. So I was kind of like doing a little recap, meeting some guys, and seeing some guys I hadn't seen in a while. And a lot of fun going on there. They got a concert taking place at the Canes Ballroom. It's going to kick off about 7 o'clock. Admission is $25, you know, and they should have some fun up in there. I got a chance. I was the only one in there besides the band sitting up in there. I'm like, oh, man, it's an empty room, and I'm up in here too. But anyway, hey, go if you get a chance here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and you're not doing anything and you got the time and the money to go out and have a good time, go out there and let those guys entertain you. And that's what's going to happen. So it's going to be big fun. But we're on open mic night, and this is Bobby Eaton, and I'm glad you could tune in. Keep in mind that we're here on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Also, we're here on Saturdays from 12 to 2. And, hey, on Friday nights, we do the old school Funky Friday. We have fun with that. A lot of times we just get together and we play some of your old school favorite jams. And we play some of your new school favorite jams, too. So you can tune in every Friday here on the Bobby Eaton Show. And just want to let you guys know that, hey, we do everything our way. You know, we tell our stories our way. It's kind of like being in the living room, not trying to get all formal or anything. I split verbs and everything else. Just say what we say. Do what we feel, and we just have fun with it here on the show. A lot of times, if you do tune in, we get serious a little bit during the week sometime, like on Mondays and Wednesdays. We have shows of economic development, job opportunities. We talk about employment. We talk about drugs. We talk about the community. We talk about uplifting the community. We talk about your identity, black love. And also on Saturdays, from time to time, we interview a lot of old school artists. So we've had like some of the older school artists like Lakeside, and we've had Mary Jane Girls and Yarbrough and Peoples, and, you know, just name it, Dynasty, Gap Experience. The list goes on and on. So we do that here on the Bobby Eaton Show. And if you need to contact me, you can reach me at eatonmusic2@gmail.com. I'm going to repeat it for you. That's eatonmusic2@gmail.com. Send me a notification or some information. You may have an idea for a show or anything like that, but just send it to me and I'll review it, and we'll see if we can possibly get on some of that right there. Last Saturday, we did a special tribute to Miss Sylvia Moore, who passed away. Moy, who passed away recently. And Miss Moy was a Motown songwriter, producer, and she wrote several hits for the famed Stevie Wonder, Isley Brothers, Marvin Gaye, you name it. She wrote like Uptight, My Sharia Moore, and those classic hits of the Motown era. So we just gave a special tribute to her. Well, if you can't remember any of that information I just gave you about me and the Bobby Eaton Show, just Google the Bobby Eaton Show, and that's all you got to do. All right, I'm going to take a break, and we're going to be right back, but we're going to wake up.
I need some loving, and
Sexual healing. Hey, you're on the Bobby Eaton Show, and we want you to tune in. Well, hold on
it's
one
final
second.
Exam.
Let me see something. I did something. We want you to tune in during the week or weekdays or whenever. But today we're doing open mic, so you can dial that number 646-716-5525. And those of you who are currently listening to me, go ahead and text somebody. I'll send a text out. Tell them to tune into the show. Press the one button. We want you to press that one button. If you have something you want to talk about, I'm waiting for somebody to do that. I see a lot of callers out there, but I'm waiting on that one button. But we're going to be just talking about some things. And the one thing that I wanted to talk about on open mic, and I always bring this up, if you're in the community, volunteer to do something positive. Get up. Volunteer, take a couple of hours out of your schedule during the week, and you volunteer for some senior citizens facility or some child program or something. You know what I mean? Just volunteer a couple hours a week, you know, to your community. Put it in. It's not going to kill you. You're not going to die from it, but you can participate. Now, if you don't know what you want to participate in, why don't you, if you're in Tulsa, Oklahoma, just stop by the studio, which is located at 1533 North Norfolk on the corner of Norfolk and Pine Place, a little white building on the corner right there, and we can find something for you to do, something for you to get involved with. And also, when it comes to your local elected officials, let me help you guys out for a little something. Once we elect them, we need to hold all of them accountable for the jobs that they do in our communities. So often we elect them and we don't ever hear nothing from, well, we hear from them some, from time to time, but we don't hold them accountable for anything. And we need to do that, hold them accountable and ask the pertinent questions, email them, call them. Don't be afraid. Now pick up that phone and call our elected officials and see if you get the return phone call and stuff like that. I hear that Vanessa Hall Harper is out there doing a whole lot of work and returning all her phone calls. She's a city council member, newly elected city council member for Tulsa. Also, we have Senator Kevin Matthews, who's the senator, and we have State Representative Regina Goodwin. You know, so they're all our elected officials here in our community. Jonathan Townsend is assistant to the mayor. So, you know, contact these people. I mean, if you got things that's going on in the community, high grass growing up that the city owns and stuff like that, and they're not cutting the grass, call down to City Hall and complain about it. You know, so you got to do it. In order to make change, you got to make some change. So let's, you know, just do that one. Okay. Hey, moving right on. I'm going to play an oldie but goodie, you know, for some of you guys. It's been a while, and goes like this. The low school. Some of y'all remember it.
Bye.
Yeah, that's the sounds of the Ohio players here on the Bobby Eaton Show. And let's see. It is now 6:25, you know, here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Central Standard Time. And I'm just going to keep playing some jams until I get somebody to call in who want to talk about something. I know I got listeners out there because I can see some of you guys right now. Some people are on the computer, some people are on their cell phones. Hey, all over the globe. And that Monday night show, I mean, wow. We had so many people from everywhere that were just calling in. And you can call in. All you need to do is have somebody dial that 646-716-5525 number. Press the 1 button so you can talk on the air. National anthem right there, if you ask me. Hey, you're on the Bobby Eaton Show. Glad you could call in and participate in this platform. This platform is for you, and spread the word. I need for you to get out there and tell your friends about, hey, you know, it don't cost you nothing to dial in and listen to the show and give your support. I need all the support I can get. Here on the Bobby Eaton Show, we tell our stories our way. You know, mainstream media, they're going to tell it their way. They're going to edit it and cut this out and cut that out. But here on this show, I just say what I feel, and we all say what we feel, and people in the community come in and say what they feel. So that's the way I've got it set up, and, you know, to tell our stories our way. Let's see, we're going to be doing some things in the future. We want you guys to also keep in mind that every Thursday night we have the Juice Radio Show. People are always asking me, man, what is this Juice Radio Show you got, Bobby? Well, the Juice Radio Show, they're a bunch of Tulsa Public School young adults from high school kids who come in here to the studio every Thursday night at 6 p.m. You know, kids from Booker T. Washington, Rogers, you name it. They come in here, sit down, and do radio their way. And they're having a blast with that. And the numbers are going up, so it's pretty good because, you know, those kids, they're into that social media, and they're into the technology side of things as well. So it don't take much for them to pick up the phone and call in and dial and things like that, dial up the station. So, yeah, we've been doing some fundraisers, and I want to thank Ramal Brown, Ramal the Hometown Heat Brown, for stepping in and, you know, heading up that particular project that I put out there. And Miss Sansere, she comes in here. So I'm starting to build up a little staff around here at Eaton Media Services. And people say, Eaton Media Services, you just got the radio station? I said, no. We have video production in here. We can do commercials, TV commercials, and all kind of stuff. We got a recording studio in the back. We can record, you know, music. If you have an artist, are you someone who would like to do some recording, you can get in touch with us at EatonMusic2@gmail.com. Again, that's EatonMusic2@gmail.com. So you can get in touch with us, and we have a full media service company right here for you, the community. So just do that. We want you to do that. It's kind of going crazy. Just some news I've been looking at. You know, this beef that we have between North Korea, what's his name? Kim Jong-un, whatever his name is. Well, anyway. And he's threatening to send off nuclear bombs to the U.S. and things like that. The world is getting crazy out here, you guys. I mean, people are doing some crazy things, and the world is just changing. So you never know what to expect. Keep your eyes and your ears open. Pay attention to your surroundings. Pay attention to who you talk to and what's going on. I was in a Quick Trip a couple of weeks ago, Quick Trip up here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And that Quick Trip, I was in there, and a friend of mine was putting some gas in his car. So he came inside to pay for his gas and things. A little youngster, a little young guy, looked like he was about 20 years old. And I was just standing up there, had a little drink in my hand, I forgot what I was drinking, maybe some lemonade or something like that. And the little guy, I was looking in his direction. He said, "What you looking at, nigga?" And I said, he had his hand up under his shirt, and I knew he was holding on to something. I'm saying, man, I didn't say nothing. I just looked at him because I said, this guy, he's on something. "What you looking at, nigga? Nigga, what you looking at?" And all of a sudden, thank God the police officer was off in there, and he said, hey, Cuddy, we're not going to have all that up in here. And then the little guy just walked on to the outside. And I was like, my friend said, oh, man, that little dude was looking at you crazy. You know, just at an instance like that, you never know when you're going to run into a fool or something like that. So you got to be careful about your surroundings, who you're around, who you're talking to, you know, because people are crazy. People are losing their lives over a conversation, you know, or just looking in, you know, someone in the wrong way. Now, you know, I really understand why a lot of seniors decide to lock up when the sun go down. You know, they just want to lock up, and that's in there in the house and in their prospective places until the sun comes back up again, because it's crazy. It's real crazy out there. So, you know, you guys be protective, you know what I mean? And look out for seniors. If you know Miss Johnson down the street, she lives by herself, been there for years, and you're a friend of hers, and check on her from time to time. You know, Mr. Williams or whoever it may be, check on them. It's not going to kill you to go over there and knock on the door and ask them, do they need any help? Or, you know, they may have walkers or just in their own, you know, just check on them. You know, we've gotten to the place we don't even know our neighbors anymore. We don't know our surroundings anymore. We lock ourselves into what I call the prison cells. And that's what it becomes, a cell within your own place, because you know, you're afraid to step outside the house. You don't know your neighbors. So, hey, check up on people. Don't be afraid, you know, and charge your churches up. Charge your churches up. If they're not doing anything in the community to uplift the community, and they're not getting out there and knocking on walls and feeding the homeless and single parent mothers and, you know, doing things that make a difference in the community, charge them up, because there's too many of our churches in our communities who the pastors sit behind the pulpits and preach fire and brimstone, going to hell sermons and prosperity. Oh, you're going to have abundantly, and you're giving all of your money to the church, and you're giving everything and that you've got, and this they saying, well, hey, let's let God handle it. You know, well, God will handle it, and I believe that, but God wants you to do the work. You must do the work, you know. You know, too often we just going to just turn it over to God, you know what I mean? And, you know, God's looking at you saying, well, yeah, I'm going to do it whenever you make a move. You know, a lot of people have missed out on a lot of dreams and things in their careers, and they could have been doing this and could have been doing that, but they just didn't do the work. That's why I'm a firm believer, if there's something that you want to do in your life, be a doer. Be consistent in what you do. Don't just hit on it today and then wait, you know, well, I'll hit on it again a couple of weeks from now, and then a month passed by, hit on it again. You guys, you know what? To have success at anything, you got to be consistent in doing it all the time. Everybody that you know that have succeeded at something have done it every day, all the time. Never let it wake up and do it, and they go to bed with it on their mind, and they keep on doing it. One thing I did have to learn, if you work in a job, if you're working an everyday job, that's what it's going to be, an everyday job. And you'll get that paycheck every 2 weeks, and that will help you maybe, that will help you maybe, you know, to the next paycheck and the next paycheck. Next thing you know, you don't have anything back. You know, you're not making enough, so you can only do so much. You know, be creative. Do something on the side. Get to the point to where you can become your own independent boss and run things the way you're running it and making that money the way it's designed for you to be. That's the way they did it back in Black Wall Street. You know, guys, think about it. 1921, back during the massacre right before that. Hey, black people had it going on and things were happening. And, boy, it was just off the change down there on Greenwood. They had over 600 businesses, 600 black African-American businesses. A few blacks had even airplanes down there. They had taxi cab service. They had movie theaters. They had hotels. They had restaurants, nightlife. You just name it, store, grocery stores, all of that was flourishing. And we need to get back to helping building up our communities. Our communities are dying these days. You know, they're falling apart. a lot of times grandma and grandpa and mom and dad have left and went on, you know, no longer here, and the kids are not taking care of the property or trying to, you know, make sure the roof is on and make sure this is happening. The next thing you know, it's condemned, and they tear it down, and that's it. Just tear it down, and that's another property loss, and we're losing them, you know. So, and people end up moving out south into an apartment somewhere, and that's the way it goes. So we need to get back to building up our communities in a positive way. All right, I'm going to go to the phone lines and see who's right here right now. Let's see who we have right quick, okay? Area code 918-935, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. Who am I speaking with?
My name is Angela.
Oh, okay. Hey, Angela, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Great.
I was just listening to your topic. I mean, what you were just talking about just a minute ago, as far as when you were talking about Black Wall Street and how, you know, a grown kid would inherit property and not keep it up. And, you know, one time I had a guy who he was doing some work on my kitchen and my fence.
Okay.
And he told me that, you know, he was an entrepreneur, and he told me that he said it used to be people would put money back into their house, to their homes, keeping them repaired and, you know, just upkeep. And he said that he noticed with the rise of the casinos that people start doing that less and less.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that is part of the problem, because neighborhoods that used to be real nice, like, you know, some of the areas in Skyline.
Right.
And, you know, just in different parts of Tulsa. But it's just certain ones I remember as a young adult, they were really nice. And now
they're
like running
nice.
Down.
Yeah.
Not as nice. Yeah.
And you know, there's a big difference, because those homes, for example, those homes built over in Skyline back in that time, you can go to some of the South Side homes that were built at the same time that those homes were built, and there's a big difference in the way the neighborhoods look, you know. There's a difference. So what it comes down to is upkeep and being able to keep your home improved, you know what I mean? If you got a house, it's gonna deteriorate sooner or later. Something, you're going to need a new roof, you're going to need some new paint, and you'll be surprised what some paint can do, you know what I mean? But you're going to need something. And so you have to have that upkeep in your community to, you know, to make things be where it needs to be. And that's what we've gotten away from.
Yeah. And also, with Black Wall Street, I have the desire, and that's why I like hearing the young people talk, because they've got that spirit booming, and it's like they're going to bring it back. I could just hear how they, even my children, I hear how my son talks, and it just don't seem like they're going to be comfortable with a, you know, just 9-to-5 pace. You know, living paycheck to paycheck. And so it seems like, I mean, this is just from my own little world and my own little perspective. It seems like this generation of these 20-year-olds and these youngsters, you know, the kids in high school now, it seems like that's going to be the generation that really just pops it, you know, make it pop.
Because you're right. You're absolutely correct, because it seems like some of the older ones, that's that lost kind of generation, that above, you're like your children, they're kind of the ones that's kind of out there right now. But this new wave of a generation of kids that are starting to come out, they're thinking more, you know, crack is whack and all this kind of stuff, and drugs, and they're not even thinking about that like that as much, you know. So you're kind of right, you know.
Yeah, and I think, like, with my mindset, my age group, we were kind of programmed to get a job, go to college, get a job, work,
right.
Work for a person. That's where our programming is, and I can see that it's kind of leaving our children, like my generation children. They're talking more about, and actually doing it too, getting businesses, like the young lady with the little boutique up there on Peoria. I'm so proud of her, and it's going to be more and more.
Yeah, Habit Boutique. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she's a young girl. She's doing it, and I am so proud of her. And when her peers see that she has actually done it, they're going to jump on. They're going to jump. You know, they're going to start living their dreams, and that's just how it goes, you know. And like, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I can see that happening, but we also have to take into account there are some that are lost, and they don't have that drive and that entrepreneurship. Maybe your children probably got that. They have that wave and that thing. But those other kids who come from a lot of oppressed and depressed areas, some of them, I don't think that some of them can actually feel it yet. So we got to convey that message over to them right there. And let them know that, hey, you can have your own business. You can be your own entrepreneur. You know, you have a dream. You have something. And everybody can't be a rapper. You know what I mean? A sports figure. You know, that's not going to happen. So you got to have something to fall back on. If I'm not trying to spoil anybody's dreams, but you got to have something to fall back on to be able to support yourself. You know, so. We need more entrepreneurs. We need more young people out there grinding and setting up. And we need more skill set African-American young men. We need gentlemen who know who want to learn how to use a skill saw and a hammer and a nail and screwdrivers and stuff like that. We got to have that, because other races like the Hispanics, they have that, and they're able to have some strong physical economic development when it comes to construction and building things. And we need to get that into our young people, because they don't know how to build. They don't know how to do anything or construct anything. So that, along with entrepreneurship, you know, being a businessman or a business leader, we need all of that together. It all works hand in hand, you know, to rebuild.
Well,
our community.
You know, like the Hispanics and some of the African people from Africa who come here, you know. Oh, hello?
Yeah, I hear you. Breaking up a little bit.
Oh, okay. Am I breaking up?
No, not now. I can hear you well.
Okay, I was going to say that they come from people who are living in some areas of their countries where jobs don't exist. They have to create their own jobs. And when they make it here, they bring that entrepreneurship spirit to them, because really it's all they have known. And that's one thing one of the things that hinder us here and in America is the availability to go to a job and not having been being forced to create one. And not that it's just all these good jobs, but what I'm saying is I read Robert Kiyosaki. He wrote a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Right.
And one of the things he said is you take away a source of income from a person, take away a source of income, like no job, no financial support from anybody, that person will then be able to look around them and see ways to money. But when you're comfortable with a job, it's like your creativity is not, you don't channel into your creativity as much.
Because, Because you don't have to. You don't have to.
You don't have to, and you're exhausted.
Yeah,
you're
just doing
from working a 9-to-5.
Most people who work a job are routine job workers. They do the same job every day, the same routine every day. And that's for the majority of people who work for the. They assigned you a job, and that's what you do. You do that every day, all week, and week after week after week, and you get that paycheck on Friday or whenever you get paid, and that's what it is. You got your hour, your 30-minute lunch break, and, you know, just the same routine.
But and it becomes a routine. And what I have noticed is myself, you live for your off days. It's like,
oh, yeah, you can't wait till Friday or whatever day you're off during the week. I know I've worked in a workplace before. You know, I haven't always been my own entrepreneur, but I've worked in a workplace before, had jobs before, and I you know, I'm just like you, working for the off days. I can't wait till the weekend get here. I can't wait till this day get here so I can be off.
And then dreading the time to go back to work.
Yeah, and then that last day before you get ready to go back towards the end of that day, if it's on a Sunday, you're saying, well, I got to get ready to get up and hit it Monday morning, you know.
Like a depression sets in on you.
Yeah, it sets in on you, you know, because you know you got to hit it. You know you got to go back. You know you got to get up, and you got to get up and go to work when you don't even feel like going to work. You know, and if you're a mother and have children or something like that, you got to get the kids ready. You got to prepare meals. You got to do all this stuff and go to work on top of that. You know, so that's a job within itself.
And
it
really is. And as far as the youth today, you said some people don't have that drive or spirit, or you made a comment towards that.
Yes.
Some of the youth don't have that drive. Well, that's been with every generation. You're going to have some people who are supposed to be workers, some people who are supposed to be entrepreneurs. That's what balances everything. Well, I read that. That's what balances, and I can see that. It balances everything out in the world of today. Now, at one time period in our history, we did have a whole lot of entrepreneurs, they didn't have a choice but to be one. You know, people
Man,
with strong
so
farms.
Many,
and,
was, yeah, it was so many entrepreneurs in our community. Like you said, little grocery stores, neighborhood, this. Everybody was an entrepreneur. You were selling everything. And that black dollar generated itself in our community over 30 times or something times, just over and over and over. And so there was economic development taking place. And things were happening and growing and support and all that was taking place, you know. So, and that's where it was back in those days. People networked.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when they didn't have a dollar, they would trade services.
They would trade. That's right. That's right. You know, my grandparents, my grandfathers on both sides of my families were hardworking men, you know. And my grandfather right next door to me right here had a barber shop. And in that barbershop, coming up as a kid, everybody in the community would come to that barbershop, and they would find out all kinds of information. Somebody looking for a car. They knew somebody who had an old vehicle, or somebody looking for a house, someplace to stay. Go over to Johnny's house, you know, talk to, you know, that word and that communication always circulated in the community. You could find whatever you wanted to find right here. You know, but we don't have that anymore, and nobody helps anybody. I can remember if my grandmother was sick or something like that, wasn't feeling well, somebody down the street would bring a pot of greens or some cornbread or something. Give this to a baby. Don't wake her up, you know, and set it on the stove. And my grandfather out there, he used to chop wood and had an old truck and was out there hustling and working hard. And, you know, he would just sit on his recliner every day, tired, wore out, you know, and he had 12 girls that he had to support, you know. So it was hard work, but it paid off because they were working for themselves.
Exactly, and that's freedom.
That's freedom.
That to me, that's freedom. And it's like,
yes, it
I
is.
Look back on all the holidays that I missed because I was scheduled to work, all the depression, usually job associated.
Right.
Headache, job associated.
You got your kid's birthday, but you can't participate because you got to work that day. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You got something going on right there because he's telling you you got to come in. You can't go to an event because you got to work.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's,
I heard, well, I guess I saw this on Facebook that Trump is getting ready to, and this is just something I read, I don't even know if it's true, getting ready the Section 8 and all the different subsidized housings finances, you know, like food stamps and all that stuff is going to be affected. He's going to make changes with it. Well, you know, I look at it this way. All it's going to do is make people more self-sufficient, and that is going to create a lot of positive energy in a person. I think the worst thing you can take is a handout. I really do. I've always my daddy believed that way, and I mean, I'm not saying when I say a handout, I mean you let the government totally take care of you. You don't even have a voice anymore.
You know, it becomes a condition. You know, a lot of African Americans, we take the handouts that are given to us, and that's all we depend upon is that handout. You know, and we never get motivated to do anything else outside of the handout. And so every month we look forward to getting that handout, you know, to make it to the next handout and the next handout. And next thing you know, you're just conditioned with handouts, and your children grow up. Some of them think that they should deserve the handout as well. So, and it's an ongoing cycle.
Exactly. And I'm not referring to, you know, people who, you know, need disability assistance elderly.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not talking about them.
That's not a handout, you know.
No,
That's a well-needed condition. You know,
exactly.
I'm talking about those who are physically able, who are just beating the system, you know, just beating the system, and they become accustomed to beating the system, and no economic development or no self preservation or anything that they're doing to uplift themselves. You know, that's what I'm saying about them uplifting themselves. You know, get off of these paychecks, you know, stop having babies just so you can get another check, you know? So I'm just using that example. No offense to anybody, but, you know.
No, but it does affect your morale. It does something to you. You don't feel, it makes a person not feel, I don't want to say pride, but they don't feel confident in their own abilities. They feel like the only way they can make it is with assistance from the state, and that is so untrue. Anybody who put their mind to it can make it.
Yeah.
And then feel like a man about yourself and feel proud.
You know, I can't understand why guys, a lot of men, don't want to feel like a man, be able to, you know, have your own space and your own stuff and not have to depend upon anybody to do anything, and you're physically able and mentally able to do that. I just don't get it. You know, why you want to move in with this lady, and you know what I mean? And she's taking care of all the bills, and you just laying up over there, you know, eating and having sex and whatever. And, you know, that's all you doing, and driving her car. I can't understand that kind of a mentality right there. I just don't get it.
Huh? A woman. I got more man in me than to, you know, just be lazy. But I was listening to Louis Farrakhan, and he was saying that when a man is being taken care of by a woman, it is impossible for that woman to have respect for him. And subconsciously, she will start treating him as a child. And, he was also saying something to the effect of a lot of these men are looking for mothers in their, you know, significant other who they are allowing to take care of them. But it's a, to me, it's a sickness. It's a sickness not to grow up mentally.
That sickness is a condition of the system, the way the system is designed and set up, you know, and I'm not making any excuses for the brothers, but at the same time, I understand that the system will put black females in a position, in a better position than they will a black male. I understand that, you know, the jobs, they get two for one when they hire you. They get a black female and a minority, you know, so therefore they get two for one. And but at the same time, brothers got to get up and stop and start looking towards the mountaintop, you know, for success. And I'm going to get up every day and I'm going to find work. I'm going to create work. I'm going to, if the system's not going to allow me to work, I'm going to allow myself to work so I can invest and I can be a whole man rather than just a partial man or not a man at all. Because, see, these kids are growing up today, these men, these young men that are growing up today, they don't know what it's like to be a real man because a lot of times the mothers have babied them so, putting ponytails in their hair and all of this and making them soft. And, you know, they've never been up under any type of manly direction from anybody. So they don't know how to become a man. Now, there are a few women, now I got to say this, who have done very well being a single mom raising their sons. I've seen some guys grow up and go off to college and become real good men and they only had their mother. But too often do we have a lot of brothers who just, they don't have it in them. They've never been put in them. They don't know how to respect other adults. They don't know how to work or they don't have any skills. They've never been made to clean up or mop or empty the trash or make up their beds, clean up their rooms. They've never had to do any of that kind of stuff. But they just mama's little baby, come here, well, boo, 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 boo. And then when they grow up and they get in trouble, oh, my baby didn't do that. My, he wouldn't do nothing like that. And, you know, they have that attitude, and the fathers are not present in their lives. Some of them are on the streets. Some of them are incarcerated, and they're taking on the same image and the same projection as their dads. And it's just horrible when it's like that. Now, in some cases, some parents are able to bear down and, hey, put rules and respect and all type of morals and standards in their children. And when you do that, then your children can grow up. And now if your children grow up and they make mistakes, they're going to come back because it's already in them. You know, some kids are going to make a mistake. They're going to come back. Oh, boy, I wouldn't talk that. They're going to feel very uncomfortable doing things that they know they're not supposed to be doing. So what I'm suggesting that if you have a child and you're out there, put something in them. You have to put it in them for it to come out. And that's the way it goes. That's what it goes. Yeah, you got to put it in them, y'all. You know, my parents put it in me, and they put it in me real good. And whenever I was out there doing stuff that I knew that I wasn't supposed to be doing, I felt it. I just felt it in my spirit.
Exactly. You know, you're right.
I felt it. If I was out there drinking with the fellas and getting a little woozy right there, I felt it. You know, so I knew it wasn't necessarily right, you know. So you got to put it in them. You got to put it in them, you know. Train up a child as he may go, you know.
Exactly. Somebody told me something. I didn't really understand it.
You're breaking up a little bit there. I don't know if you, yeah.
Okay. What about right here? Is this okay?
Yeah, it's okay. You must have been moving around or something, huh?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm cooking.
I got you. I got you.
Somebody told me, can you hear me pretty good?
Yeah, I hear you real good.
Okay. Somebody told me when I was younger, and I didn't quite understand it, though I did receive it. They told me that the only people who have been truly free in this country were white men and black women. And at first, I just didn't. I mean,
really? Black women?
When you think about it, we are allowed to be way more bold than you guys are allowed to be as a whole.
Sure.
We are allowed to be head of a household and not be interrupted. we are allowed to use our voices, and it's not so intimidating.
Now I
understand what she meant.
You know what? A white man will give you a loan from a bank. He will give you a housing. If there's a black woman who has children, he will give you a lot of things that he won't give a black man at all. You know what I mean? He will he'll hire you on his job and make you his assistant, and you know, you'll go to work and you'll respect him every day on that job. Won't argue with him. He can tell you to go get coffee or do anything he wants to tell you to do, and most black women are going to do it. You know, they're going to do it because they're making that big salary. So now you're making that $40,000 a year, you know, and your husband is working at Walmart. He's making that $17,000 a year. And you become the breadwinner of the household. And what ends up happening is he becomes intimidated because you're making a lot of the major decisions in the household. That's for most of them. Now, there are a few women that go ahead and allow him to be the man that he is, not based upon the salary. But there's here in 2017, too many situations where she becomes the breadwinner, and all of a sudden his manhood is challenged. And so he's feeling belittled and depressed and oppressed, and he looks up, she's got a brand new car, and he didn't know nothing about it, and wow, you know what I mean? And they're moving somewhere because she found a house without including him in the decision making of all of this, and he doesn't have access to the bank account, and she, you know, it becomes some division that takes place. So that brother may go out into the hood and he may meet up with Pookie or JoJo and get to drinking some wine and alcohol. And, man, I don't know, man. Sheila just won't listen to me, man. I try to make some suggestions, but she ain't listening to me, man, and blah, blah, blah. So what ends up happening after that is that his manhood is challenged, is broken down, and she's feeling prosperous and aggressive in what she does, and she's moving forward. And so the relationship, the family relationship, seems to just go downhill. And all what they had built up in love is never there anymore, because love has become something else to them. And that's where that division comes in, that Willie Lynch divide and conquer, you know, that Willie Lynch mentality where, you know, hey, break up the male from the female, the light skin from the dark skin, bring about division and confusion, and you win. You can control. And the system is set up because we don't manufacture no airplanes, no boats, no Smith & Wesson guns, none of that stuff. We are not we're consumers. Black people are consumers. And what ends up happening is we embrace all of that stuff as we get a hold to it, and a lot of times it causes division, you know, and that's what's a lot of that's going on in our neighborhoods, you know, in our areas of communities and stuff like that, and it brings about division. It's by design. It is designed for you to be over in an oppressed and depressed area. Well, like we are in North Tulsa, without a grocery store, without this, without a cleaners, without basic things that we need to live on, we really don't have. Think about it. Here in North Tulsa, we got a bunch of fast food restaurants, some McDonald's, Sonic's, some Taco Bell, some Popeyes, some Kentucky Fried Chicken places, and they're packed with people every day. You know, you got lines of our community eating that bad, unhealthy food every day, which causes diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and everything else in our community. You know, and we can't see it. We can't see it. We got people like Cooper's Fruit Stand over here about to go out of business because we won't go over and support Mr. Cooper and his fruit stand and buy his vegetables and his fruits and his cabbage and all this stuff that's really healthy for us. Well, you got young ladies over here in our community over here in North Tulsa don't even know how to boil water. They can't do, they don't know how to do anything, you know, and it's kind of sad, but they know how to go up to June's beauty supply up there and buy all of them weaves and all of that, spend all the money on all of that. Then you got brothers walking around looking like they lost old men on bicycles riding around in the community. That, and that's their form of transportation. I mean, it's really sad. It's really sad.
It is sad.
When you look at all of it and the devastation and how things have been broken down in our communities. And I say, oh, my God. You know, I said, oh, what is going on here? To do something about it. Those of us who are physically able and mentally able and financially able to do something about it, we need to start working on, at least working towards doing something about it. Now, I was talking to a guy the other day, and I was explaining the same situation to him. He says, well, Bob, man, I don't see it, man. It ain't going to never happen. I can't never see it happening. It ain't going to never happen. You know what? When I hear that negativity, and you hear it so often from a lot of blacks, us in our neighborhoods, it ain't going to never happen. You can't never do this. Well, you know, change can take place if you're optimistic about something and you're trying to make a change. You know, I don't want to be one of those kind of guys who lived a life and didn't try to do something. I don't want to be that guy, you know, who just kick back, you know. Yeah, man, I didn't do a damn thing while I was living. I don't want to be that dude. I want to be the kind of guy that when I decide, well, when he decides to check me out, I want people to say, well, man, Bobby tried to do this, and, man, he tried to work on this and work on that. I want to be remembered for something, you know. So, and
yeah,
I encourage all of our listeners, if you're out there, no matter where you're at, and not necessarily just here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but where you at, wherever you're at on the globe, participate, do something, make a change, put something in somebody's life. You know, put something in somebody's life. And Angela, you know, I want to just thank you for calling in. You know, me and you, we can get into it. You know,
and, I know.
Yeah, we can get into it. You know what I mean? And you are a strong supporter of this particular platform, and I'm just glad to have you, and you're welcome to call in here anytime, any day. Listen, do what you got to do. Stop by. I know you stop by. You know, we chit-chat from time to time, and I appreciate you, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, Angela.
All right.
Yeah, well, hey, you're on the Bob Eaton Show, and I'm going to get off my little soapbox right quick, and you can dial that number 646-716-5525 and press the 1 button. Hey, just a reminder to all the listeners, I'm going to be taking an early out on this show today. Let's see, I'm a head on down to the Kane's Ballroom to the concert show. It started at 7 o'clock, and it looks like it's about 7:15 right now, so they're actually starting up, and I'm going to head on out of here. But I want you guys to keep in mind that we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and also Friday, and 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Just tune in. Also on Saturdays from 12 to 2. Keep in mind that tomorrow night, 6 p.m., the Juice Radio Show. And I'm going to cut it short right now. So until the next time, you guys, you know, have a great day, and I'll see you later, okay?